everyone, and thanks for tuning in to Beats Research Radio, a podcast and YouTube channel dedicated to bringing our community closer to research in the science and engineering fields. My name is Anna Spasevich, and I'll be your host on today's episode. Welcome to Curiosity Capsule, an interview series exploring how scientific curiosity serves as an engine for developments in science and engineering, and showcasing how inquisitiveness preludes intelligence. We are honored to be joined today by Dr. Mae Griffith, a Canadian tissue engineer and researcher. Her research interests are in the area of regenerative medicine, with special interests in biomaterials enhanced or enabled cell-based regeneration. Welcome, Dr. Griffith. We are so happy to have you on Beats Research Radio.
Thanks very much. I'm happy to join you.
Dr. Griffith, as one of the most influential biomaterials scientists in Canada, you have spearheaded a plethora of revolutionary research projects in the field of regenerative medicine. What are some of your roles and responsibilities as a professor at the University of Montreal and a researcher at the Maisonneuve-Rosemont Hospital Research Center?
Well, I think first and foremost, I'm a professor, so I'm a teacher. And one of my roles is to actually train students and get a younger generation of tissue engineers involved in this area. So we're trying to get people interested in translational research. And of course, at the end of the road, we want to have a cure that we can actually bring to the clinic. So the goal here is mainly twofold: to develop a treatment for patients, and also to train like a new generation of scientists, particularly women, so that they can get involved in this field.
Can you tell us about your eureka moment, a moment during your research when you might have experienced a sudden triumphant discovery or inspiration?
Actually, sad to say, I didn't have a eureka moment. It was actually my collaborator who had that eureka moment. So I generally work in a team. And one of the things that we were doing when we first started with the artificial cornea project was I was making implants and then sending these to my colleagues to test. One of my colleagues is a surgeon, and he is just one of the most awesome people I know, because what I sent him was a hydrogel that was 96% water and 4% solids. But Professor Lohmann managed to actually suture these into the corneas of pigs. And so that was the eureka moment. It's like, what? You did what? You know, when he called me and told me about this. So once we managed to suture it into animals, I mean, that was the beginning when we realized that, yes, we could actually take this into the clinic. And so we just went ahead and, you know, worked hard. But that was, I guess, the start of our translational program.
That's incredible. Your team is recognized for successfully regenerating the world's first human cornea using biosynthetic implants in a clinical trial. Can you elaborate a little bit on the steps that you took to execute this groundbreaking project?
The main steps are pretty much the same in biomaterials research. So there's the discovery step, you know, trying to design an implant. And the one thing that we did was to have the patient in mind at the end. And that actually helped us choose the materials. So, for example, we chose recombinant human collagen as opposed to animal-based material, so that there wouldn't be any allergic reactions or any potential zoonotic transmission. So that's just one part of it. And from there, you know, we designed the materials, chose our cross-linkers, and then it was a lot of sweat. What I do is I try to minimize the number of animals that we use. And so we did most of our testing in vitro. We tested all the formulations. And then basically from there, we chose like the three best ones. And those went into small animals. And then from there, the best one went into a mini pig model. And of course, we have the ISO testing. So this is toxicology biocompatibility before the clinical trial. So it's basically a lot of work, many, many steps.
Yeah, sounds like a long but very rewarding process, I can imagine.
Well, it was 10 years, so yes, it was long.
Wow, that's determination at its finest. I understand that in addition to your PhD in anatomy, you hold a master's degree in business administration. How has your interdisciplinary background encompassing both science and business benefited you throughout your career?
Well, the MBA was actually an alternative career choice because when I was doing my postdoc, I was actually very, very sick, and I wasn't sure that I was going to be able to walk, or do very much after that. And so there were very few options for people back at the time for, somebody who would probably be sort of bound to a desk. And I thought management would be a good option, but having gone through that, I think it's been very, very useful because the management experience helps in managing a team. So I manage a team across a few countries because I collaborate with a lot of people globally, and then also with my own team here. And that experience, I think, was very, very useful. It helps, to go through the steps to actually inspire new students because, and then to try and run a project like you would run a business, because that's basically what each lab is. It's like a small business because you have to actually get the money, do the work, and create the product.
Right, that's amazing. Can you tell us a little bit about how you're working towards solving the global problem of the shortage of human donor corneas?
Well, the first thing that I'm doing is to interest as many people as possible because it's not going to be one person who's going to be solving that problem. It's a big problem. So you need to interest other researchers, need to interest people in eye banking who can distribute the tissues, and of course, very importantly, the ophthalmologists and the surgeons, but also, just trainees and people who have an interest, who may have relatives who are blind or who have lost their vision, but basically anyone who has an interest in eradicating blindness. So I work on the cornea, which I think it's very possible to eradicate blindness because it is something, it's a tissue that's relatively simple, and it's situated in front of the eye. There's an eye banking network that's already in place, and there are also many wonderful surgeons. There are also many researchers who are already interested and involved in this area. So it's a matter of actually trying to work together. That's what it's going to take. I don't think it's going to be me solving the world's problem. It's going to be me helping to solve the world's problem by getting other people interested in it.
Absolutely, I can imagine it's definitely a team effort to eradicate blindness globally. Lastly, what is your vision for the future of biomaterials engineering in Canada and beyond?
I think the future is bright. We have lots of young people who are interested, such as yourself. So, we're hoping to establish training programs that would get people more interested in the translational aspects. So the translational aspects are a little tougher, because it's a very long road. So all the way from design to the clinic, as I mentioned, took 10 years. So it's a very long road. And Trainees who get into this area have to be very, very dedicated. And so do the surgeons who are actually going to be taking the materials into clinical trials. So we need to have people who are dedicated. And so I see my role as helping to facilitate. So setting up training programs, doing my own research, getting the ophthalmologists interested. And I'm right now trying to work with eye banks and also surgeons in Canada and also abroad to try and bring the technology, particularly to the low and middle income countries where, they may be short of medical personnel. So new implants that can be put in place by medical personnel. That would not need expensive operating theaters would be ideal. So we're working towards that.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today. On behalf of our director, Dr. Emilio Alarcón, and the whole Beats Research Radio team, we thank you all for tuning in. Beats Radio is supported by the University of Ottawa Heart Institute, the Beats Laboratory, and the Department of Biochemistry, Microbiology, and Immunology at the University of Ottawa. Don't forget to follow our Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube platforms to stay in the loop of our latest uploads. Wishing everyone good health and see you all next week. Stay curious.